Just some general thoughts and reaction to Dawkins retiring.
You know what? For a guy like that, it's always tough to make that final decision and take that final step. But obviously, I think that he's obviously had a great career, and decided, I think, with not having talked to him, he called John this morning. I did not talk to Brian, but the career that he's had, and for 16 years, 4 years here in Denver, and the 12 in Philadelphia, had a tremendous career. So I'm sure he took the time that he wanted to take since the season was over. And in that situation, it always does take that kind of time because you never, as a football player, and I'm sure that he went through it many, many times, it's always tough to take that final step. But he'll be missed. And he did so many tremendous things for the Broncos, not only on the field, but his leadership off the field was, something that we'll always be grateful for.
You guys think that he was maybe going to come back? I mean, where was sort of he on your board of possibly coming back
out? We left it up to him. We're going to let him make that decision. Obviously, we'd like to have had him back, but it was going to be his decision, and we told him to take his time, because when you make career decisions like that, they do take that time. So he did take his time, and obviously came with the decision that he felt was best for him and his family.
John, when you look at the draft board that you guys have set up, where are the strengths in the draft here?
Well, I mean, I think that it's deep in some areas. There's no question. There's some depth. Obviously the quality. When you get to, obviously they've talked about the 5-8 plus players at the top of the draft, and then from there it's kind of there's a lot of good football players, and there is some depth. In certain areas there's some depth, which is good. I think it's, for the most part, hopefully what comes out, as we're going in, we think it's a good draft. Hopefully you come out thinking the same thing.
John, when you look at depth, how do you separate one player from another in terms of that position, specifically defensive tackle?
So, say that again now.
How do you separate, what makes the difference to you if two guys are there? Defensive tackle, there's a lot
of... So two tackles, are you comparing two tackles?
Yeah.
Well, we want the best one. Well, I mean, we watched the film, and I think that there's the discussion with, with the staff, with the scouts, as well as the coaching staff, the coach in that position, coordinator on that side of the ball, Matt Russell, Brian, myself, and we'll have a good discussion about each position, each player, and then we try to rank them. That's how we set the board. So. It comes down to the consensus. Obviously, we're not always going to see them the same way, but hopefully we come to a consensus after. If there is a disagreement, we'll go back and look at it and discuss it and eventually come to the decision how we have them ranked in each position.
John, on paper, you seem to do very good in free agency. Can you talk about the need to complement that with a good draft?
Well, I think, it's been so good. You never know until we get them out there, and obviously they've been working out. We haven't been able to be out there with them, but they've been working out, and I think that, you look at what we did free agency-wise, and you try to look at the board going into the draft and what's there, what's available. But I think the bottom line is we want to come out of every draft, and we want to come with players that are going to be impact players. As I said last year, drafting to need is a little bit – you have a lot more misses in my mind when you draft a need. So we're going to try to find the best players in positions of needs, but also try to find those impact players that are going to be able to come in and help us right away.
Are you more inclined with Peyton Manning on board? Are you more inclined to augment his offense with the weapons around him, or augment your defense to take some pressure off him having to put up some eight points?
Well, I mean, I think the bottom line is we want to do the best thing and surround him with a team that's going to give us an opportunity to win. And the thing is, we can go in with an idea of what we'd like to do, but that changes as players come off the board. That's always fluid. So to be able to have a game plan, it's like going into a football game and having a game plan. But once you get in the game, and you see what's going on. That it's a fluid situation. So it'll be the same thing with the draft, and the fact that obviously there's guys that we have pinpointed and like, but you never know where they're going to go and when they're going to be there. So, that's something that's fluid and changes all the time.
Does the talent level and the depth of a team change the fact of whether or not you would draft a guy that might be labeled a project, maybe his ceiling's high, but he's a project guy, or maybe you feel like you can win now, so maybe you skip on a guy like that. Does that make any sense?
No, well, I mean, I think you think about all those type of things, but the bottom line is, I think where we have, in the position that we're in, and what we think is, especially early in the draft, we have to find guys that are going to be football players, good football players, are going to be here for a long time. And that's the major thing, is to, rather than, take a guy that has a lot more miss. Now, you either roll the dice or you don't. And I think once we get to that, where they're at 25, once we get there, depending on who's on the board, going through those situations, we do plenty of mock drafts so we can kind of compare the players at that point in time when we do get there and try to come up with the best decision that we can. But I think, our concern is to find those players that are going to be good football players for a long time.
How open are you to moving, to changing positions?
We're open. I think that, preferably we like to go back. If that's, if there's somebody that likes somebody in our position at 25, we're fine there. But we're always open to go either way.
John, you were very open about wanting to get three starters from last year. Is that still a goal or a similar type of goal for this year?
I think that's always the goal, especially with where we are. But, yeah, we'd like to find guys, especially guys that are, got contributors. I think we're in a different situation in the fact that we with the draft that we had last year, we found those three starters, really kind of four part-time. But we expect all those guys to really step up and have better years this year. So obviously, when anytime you go into a draft, you think your first and second picks are going to be, even into the third round, are going to come in and be an impact on your football team.
Having been in the draft room last year, what was maybe one thing that you learned from the experience of drafting him and then taking him?
That it's just fluid. I mean, it's always changing, and there's always surprises, and you never know. Even though, everything that everybody has their mocks and everybody has their opinions on where different players should go or different viewpoints, when you have 32 teams, they're going to have different viewpoints on different players. And so I think that, number one, it's very fluid, and number two, you can't rely on anything. And the fact that, it's going to be changing all the time. And I think that's probably the fun part about it. It's so unexpected.
How different is it being at 25 right now as opposed to being at number two last year?
We had the whole draft last year. Now, you got 24 guys that are going to go in front of you. And so trying to figure out who might be there at 25 and looking at our needs and the ability to find that guy that's going to be an impact guy at 25. So it's a big difference.
John, do you guys set it up as we have a guy we want at 25, but if he comes off the board, we have the next guy that we want, and he comes off the board? How far does that run?
Well, it all depends, because the bottom line is what we try to do is just see when we get to that position who's left on the board, and then compare if there's three or four guys that we like, compare them and which would have the biggest impact and is going to have the biggest impact for our football team. So those are the things that you're going to. We're always going to get to three different guys. We can't predict who those three or four different guys are going to be by the time we get to 25. And so we just try to do as many mocks as we can to be able to discuss all the different situations and the different players that might be there.
When you talk about impact guys, are you referring to impact this year or
yeah,
the place the team is in, or looking long-term?
No, we're talking about now. I mean, I think an impact doesn't necessarily be a starter, but an impact that can come in and help us win. And I think that that's kind of where we are right now. And I think with the way the league's set up, that's the expectations of those guys early in the draft, is to come in and have an impact and be able to play early.
Outsiders keep identifying defensive tackle as your main need. When you look at your team, do you see it that way?
Well, obviously we've had, we struggled a bit, obviously losing Broderick in free agency. We wanted to keep him, but couldn't do that. But I think that, we're not as – we don't feel as bad about our tackles as everybody else does. I think that, we feel okay there. Ty Warren will be back coming off injury. And then Vickerson's coming back. And then we got some young guys in there that we feel like, we'll be okay. So it's not nearly the need that people have in our minds that people think it is.
Has anybody inquired about your 25th pick around the league, John?
Not yet.
John, how has Peyton Manning's presence – altered your guys' approach to the draft, if at all?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you look at where we were and where we are, the offensive mindset's a little bit different than it was. And so, obviously, that's going to change the type of people that we're looking at. you know, offensively, defensively, nothing's changed other than the fact that to get to know Jack Del Rio, the kind of people that he likes, the style that he's going to play defensively. It really comes down to the style on both sides is really what's changed with obviously with Peyton coming in, what we're going to do offensively comparatively, what we would have done. And then obviously with the different styles that Jack and has from Dennis, to be able to get to know that style and tie those two together in the draft.
You'd still like to come away with a quarterback?
Well, again, we'll see how it goes. Depends on who's there, and it's fluid. I think that every year we're going to look at the quarterbacks and see what's available and where and the value and what we think of them. So,
yeah, again, that's fluid. Looked at the playoff game against New England and thought one obvious need was cover guys. Did you draw the same conclusion?
Well, we struggled all last year against anybody that spread us out. So. That's the thing is every team has needs, and it's just a matter of the impact guy or the people that you can find and help solve that need. You can never have enough good corners. You can never have enough good pass rushers. There's no question. Corner is another spot that is very vital in being if you're going to be good on the defensive side because of what people. Where the game's going and the amount of spread offense that we're seeing now, you got to be good in secondary. But you're only as good as your pass rush, too. So, you got to combine both those. And so obviously our pass rush is better than it's been. So, got to get better against when people spread us out.
Do you think, when you looked at it, when you took the job, do you think the fact that Jack is now the seventh defensive coordinator in the last 7 years has impacted the draft?
Well, there's no question it has an impact. Especially it has an impact because every defensive coordinator that comes in has a different style. And so I think that, obviously we want to get some continuity, and that was the goal coming in last year was getting continuity on the defensive side. And thought Dennis was going to be here a while because he was a young guy that didn't have the experience. But we thought he would grow here. But then, the Raiders came in and took him away because he's a very talented young coach. And so now that Jack's here, obviously – we want Jack to stay around, but then again, he's been head coach too, so you never know. So I think the bottom line is, especially defensively with John and the mindset that he has and his background, is hopefully we can create that continuity that way, and hopefully Jack stays around for a while.
John, outside of Luck and Griffin III, can you speak broadly to the depth of the quarterback prospects this year?
There's some good prospects. You never know. I think obviously when you look at the two guys at the top, everyone's kind of have them as franchise guys. But I think for the most part, it's always a crapshoot, especially lower in the draft. I think with not only that position but all the different positions, and you want to try to find the best packages that you can. And so there's some guys that they're good athletes. That are going to have a chance to be successful in the league. It's just a matter of them getting in the right situations.
John, you've had teenage boys, obviously. A guy like Drake or Patrick made a couple mistakes as a kid. How often, how much does that weigh into your decision to draft a guy?
I mean, I think we look at all those things, and obviously there's a lot of background that goes into every guy that we look at, because I think that the bottom line is when you look at the NFL and as big as the NFL is, plus what Mr. Bowling wants the Denver Broncos to be all about, and the importance of the quality of player that we get, is important to Mr. Bowling. And so, with that said, it's important to us too. Obviously, kids are going to be kids and make mistakes. I mean, every kid coming out is not going to be perfect. It's just a matter of hopefully they can mature because they're all going to mature. They're all 21, 22 year old kids. They're going to have made mistakes, and it's just a matter of what the mistakes were. And we compare that with everything and throw it in the bucket and come out with the best guy, hopefully.
And John, what's the mindset going to a draft? The offense, defense, best player available, maybe trading the pick?
It's fluid, so we're gonna go in. We're gonna continue as we get closer. If we hear some things as far as going up or down, and we'll look at everything. But we'll continue to work on our board, set the board, do our mock draft, see how things might fall. And so, again, we don't have a mindset exactly what we're gonna do. We're gonna have to wait and see until we get close to that pick at 25, and that's usually, because as we see how the board falls, then we'll never know. So. It's a mindset of the thing is, as I said, we want to find a guy that's going to come in here and have an impact, whether it be offensively or defensively.
In the pre-analysis, what's the main priority or the main necessity of the team?
Well, I mean, I think that you can look at a lot of different areas that we have, but the bottom line is we're going to take the best player on the board at that point in time when it comes to us. And so, that's why I don't want to get into what our needs are. We'll let other people figure that out because obviously going into the draft, it's important that, other teams are guessing where you're going to go. And we'll continue to do that.
You mentioned defensive tackles being positioned that was better than I often thought. Do you feel the same way about running back? Because that's another one that a lot of people said.
Well, I mean, you can look at you can look at every position that we have on our team. We can get better everywhere. I mean, I think obviously, you can look at knees. Do we have a lot of depth in the offensive line? Are you tight ends? We're young there, and so I mean, you can go and look at running. You can look at every position and say, okay. You can look at it and say, okay, they probably have a need there. I mean, I think the thing is. Everybody looks at us. You look at us. I think when you look at the NFL as a whole, every team looks at their team the same way that we look at ours, and that everybody has holes and is trying to fix holes and get better at different areas. And so, you can look at all the different ones. You can bring them all up and, can try to get better at every position.
With your front office having been now in office for whatever it is, 14 months, will your internal process be the same, your decision-making process? And can you describe a little bit how it works when you're on the clock with Brian and with you and John and whoever else is in there?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a team, and we're going to come with a consensus with the best decision that we can. Matt Russell is obviously heavily involved now that he's the director of player personnel, and then we'll bring each coach with the position coaches in and talk to them and get a feel for them as we get closer to our pick. But usually when we get there, usually when we're on the clock, we have a pretty good idea which direction we're going to go as we see the board fall. So, we're going to still work as a team and come out with a consensus that we all believe is the best direction for the Broncos.
John, you rescinded the tender offer to Ryan McBean. DJ Williams is facing a 6-game suspension. How will that factor into your mindset in terms of linebackers going into this draft?
Well, we're going to go back and try to find the best football players. We talked about corners, we talked about D-line, we talked about running backs, now we're talking about linebackers. And so, every situation is different. We don't know what's going on with the appeal and all that. So we're going to go with the best football players that we can, and hopefully those are the guys that can come in and have the biggest impact for us.
Of all the measurables, where does the Wonderlic score fall?
I mean, it's important. I think that it's important to see, there's a bunch of different tests. There's other tests that they take also that we have that, not only tie with the Wonderlic, but there's a matrices test as well as another test that they all tie in together. So there's really a lot of information that goes into each player's bucket, and then we try to evaluate that bucket as everything goes into that bucket. And then as we take that bucket and the information in that bucket, we rank it on our board and, against everybody else at that position. So... it all goes into the decision-making process.
How big is your board, by the way? We've heard specific numbers with the Broncos in the past. How many guys you got on there?
How many guys we got on there? I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
John, there's been a lot of speculation around Peyton Manning and the team consulting with him on certain moves, certain situations. Anything with him going into the draft? I mean, any consultation with him? Any factor he plays in the whole evaluation?
No. I mean, I think that obviously Peyton's here doing the best he can to getting to know everybody and rehabbing every day. And since he's signed, he's been here most of the time. So he's getting to know his teammates, and I think that Peyton has put the trust in us to go out and do the best that we can to find football players who are going to help this football team. And so obviously Peyton has interest in what we do, but Peyton is, not involved in the draft process.
When 25, it is kind of a fluid position, how it falls. Do you go in with, three guys you'd like to have, three guys you think might be there, three more guys back? As far as the 25th pick, how many guys?
Well, and that's why we have the mock. That's why we have the mock drafts, and so we can go through there. And it may change all the time, and so what we can do is compare different people that. If this guy were to fall at that slot and he's there, then we'll take this guy. And if not, we've got these three guys left, and we'll compare them and talk about each one of them. And so by the time we get to the draft and 25 comes around, that we pretty much covered all our bases as far as comparing different players at situations that we would take at 25. And so that's what I'm saying. It's so fluid, it's hard to tell you exactly who we would take because we don't know. And as I said earlier, that's the thing that's so amazing about this thing is everybody's got different opinions on players. And so the draft board never falls the way you think it's going to fall. And, you know, one pick can throw everything out of whack. And so it's a matter of we'll try to do the best we can in these mocks to be able to compare by the time we get to 25 to compare the guys at that situation, at that pick.
Media or insider mock drafts just to get a feel of what rumors are going around, around the league or anything like that, John?
What's that now?
Do you ever look at media or insider mock drafts?
That's all we look at. It's amazing how much knowledge there is. But you know, I think I will tell you this, and you know, all kidding aside, is that there's so much word on different guys out there, where they may go, what round they may go in, and all those type of things. So you try to get as much information as you can and come to the best conclusion if a guy's going to be in the second or a third or a fourth. And
sure,
a lot of times the mocks that come from everywhere else have, you know, you can look at those and get some information out of those.
How many mocks do you think you've done by now as a whole staff?
We just started doing it today, so we got one before it came down here. So
you weren't doing it last week?
No, we just got the board done Friday. Yeah, so we'll do that this week.
If you're looking at a group of players at a certain position and one of them is from Stanford, does he have an advantage?
We know he's smart.
John, the Broncos had a lot of success with many of their draft picks in the past 8 years or so. They've had some nice picks. Obviously, there's been a number of them that haven't worked out. How careful is it for a team, not just the Broncos, but any team in the NFL when that happens? When teams, when picks don't pan out?
Well, I mean, that's always tough. And I think that, you know, a lot of times is that, you do the best you can and the best studying that you can on the background, the type of person they are, and also do the film study. And it's always going to be, it's not a perfect science because when you're dealing with human beings, everything's going to change all the time. And so you never really know, and you just got to do the best you can. And I think that's why we work the way that we work, and the fact that we get a consensus, because, you know, we all have different opinions in that room at times, so we're able to talk it through and try to come with the best decision. But, when you're dealing with human beings, you're never going to be 100% right, and I think that, all we can do is try to do the best we can and do as well as we can and hopefully get them in the right situation. That's why, I said last year is that we don't draft all pros. We got to make them all pros. And so to be able to find guys that fit in this system and our system the best, that give them the best opportunity to reach the potential that they have, then our drafts are going to look that much better too. So that's always the goal, but you're never going to be 100% in it.
How important is the face-to-face interview in this whole evaluation process? And also, how many guys have you talked, draft prospects, have you talked to face-to-face?
Well, we had the 60 guys that we had in Indianapolis. I think it's always tight. I'm not sure you can get a whole lot out of it. And the fact that you get to sit down with them 15 minutes, and then we've had probably 10 or 12 guys in through the process the last couple of weeks. And so, you try to get to know them. But I will say this, is that we're very fortunate. And the thing is, and I don't want to be remiss in the fact that to congratulate and thank our scouts, because they're really the ones that are out there doing the behind the scenes work and really do all the character work for us, and they've done a tremendous job this year. And so without them, that's where it really comes down to, is that character background checks, plus them getting them identified and graded, all the information comes into us and allows us to study them. So our scouts do a tremendous job, but again, background checks are so important that you know a lot of that stuff before you have a chance to talk to them for 15 minutes or 20 minutes when you get to be around them. So that does help at times, but there's only so much you can get out of them.
John, how many rounds do you guys do your mock drafts? And you just one? You all go full 7 rounds? Or
no. Three? We'll probably go 2 to 3, I would think. That's what we did last year. So,
is it a situation where you might fight a little bit more for an offensive player and John Fox would fight a little more for a defensive guy?
No. I think the bottom line is we're on the same page as far as we want to be able to win. And so I think that, once, again, with that discussion, where you're, we're able to come out with a decision that's going to help us win football games. And so, you know, obviously my mindset's going to be a little bit different. John's, he comes from a defensive mindset. I come from an offensive mindset. So, you know, you have differences of opinions there, but that's never stopped us from that coming.